Fine. I respect that. The odd thing is, even as I am saying that, I am thinking, is there an Orthodox Jew here who is going to be offended by the fact that I just said that? But I wouldn't have thought, maybe there's somebody from the left wing, or somebody from the right wing, or somebody who subscribes to this view or the other in economics, when I was making the other points. I just think, fine, we have different opinions. But the moment I say something that has something to do with somebody's, I'm going to stick my neck out here and say, irrational beliefs, then we all become terribly protective and terribly defensive and say, no, we don't attack that. That's an irrational belief, but no, we respect it. It's rather like, if you think back in terms of animal evolution, an animal that's grown an incredible carapace around it, such as a tortoise. That's a great survival strategy because nothing can get through it. Or maybe like a poisonous fish that nothing will come close to, which therefore thrives by keeping away any challenges to what it is. In the case of an idea, if we think, here is an idea that is protected by holiness or sanctity, what does it mean? Why should it be that it's perfectly legitimate to support the Labour Party or the Conservative Party, Republicans or Democrats, this model of economics versus that, Macintosh instead of Windows, but to have an opinion about how the universe began, about who created the universe, no, that's holy. What does that mean? Why do we ring-fence that for any other reason other than that we've just got used to doing so? There's no other reason at all. It's just one of those things that crept into being, and once that loop gets going, it's very, very powerful. So we are used to not challenging religious ideas, but it's very interesting how much of a furor Richard creates when he does it. Everybody gets absolutely frantic about it because you're not allowed to say these things. Yet, when you look at it rationally, there is no reason why those ideas shouldn't be as open to debate as any other, except that we have agreed somehow between us that they shouldn't be. There's a very interesting book, I don't know if anybody has read it, called Man on Earth, by an anthropologist who used to be at Cambridge, called John Reader, in which he describes the way that... I'm going to back up a little bit and tell you about the whole book. It's a series of studies of different cultures in the world that have developed within somewhat isolated circumstances, either on islands or in a mountain valley or wherever, so it's possible to treat them to a certain extent as a test tube case. You see, therefore, exactly the degree to which their environment and their immediate circumstances has affected the way in which their culture has arisen. It's a fascinating series of studies. The one I have in mind at the moment is the one that describes the culture and economy of Bali, which is a small, very crowded island that subsists on rice. Now, rice is an incredibly efficient food, and you can grow an awful lot in a relatively small space, but it's hugely labour-intensive and requires a lot of very, very precise cooperation amongst the people there, particularly